God allowed a flaw to exist in our Constitution. And that flaw was Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17. And I think I have a... here we are. I'll read it to you. This is the flaw. Congress shall have the power to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district not exceeding 10 miles square as may by cession of particular states and acceptance of Congress become the seat of the government of the United States, and to exercise like authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state in which the same shall be, for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings, and to make all laws which shall be necessary and proper for carrying into execution the foregoing powers and all other powers vested by this Constitution in the government of the United States or in any department or officer thereof. That little paragraph in our Constitution was a flaw because that created two another nation within our nation. Now, let's see what constitutes a nation. If I told you that a governing body was given a prescribed territory containing a body of people, what more would you need for a definition of a nation? A governing body having a rule over a prescribed territory containing a body of people. That's a nation. Well, you see, the Constitution created a union of the 50 states, and that was a three-branch government. You had a legislative branch, an executive branch, and a judicial branch. That was a three-branch republic, and the Congress that worked for that government was limited in all the laws it could pass by the Bill of Rights. They had to honor that. No law that was passed by Congress from the Republic that couldn't pass muster of the Bill of Rights was valid law, and it was not enforceable in the Republic. But the same Congress had exclusive rule over a given territory containing a body of people. Exclusive rule means that they were a democracy. Anything that's passed by a majority vote became the supreme law. And there was no limitation of the Bill of Rights or anything on that government. Anything that Congress could pass by a majority vote became the law of the land. And then Congress had its own executive officers they call them administrative agents, to enforce its own law. And they had their own legislative Article I courts to try their own law. So you had three branches of government, all in the legislative branch of the Republic. And you see what a contrast was created there. Here you had a wonderful document protecting everybody's rights as citizens, and the Congress could only pass the law, the executive could enforce the law, and the judicial branch judge the law. But here, you had all three branches of government, all in the legislative branch of government. And this is what we have today. Well, now, the Rothschilds didn't like our new republic. When this was founded, the Rothschild bankers said, this new nation, the only thing they could borrow would be gold or silver, because Congress was given the duty to coin gold or silver as the medium of exchange for the Republic. And so the Rothschild bankers who loaned credit, which they create out of thin air, didn't like a nation which could only borrow gold or silver because they didn't have any gold or silver to loan. And so they wanted to bring this nation back under the king because they had a deal where they were loaning the King of England bank credit. And that was right in their liking. But this new nation could only borrow gold or silver. So they financed England in the War of 1812, hoping to bring America back under the king. But they lost the war. And so America prospered just like God said it would prosper in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 to 14. We had all these blessings that God could provide. But then America began to get too much prosperity, and I guess our Israelite people, we can't stand prosperity. When we get that way, we begin to think that we created the prosperity in our own skill. We don't need God anymore. Well, once a nation gets like that, they need to be disciplined. And so the discipline was brought on by the Rothschilds discovering the flaw in our Constitution. See, God kept them blind for many, many years. But finally, they discovered the flaw. And they said, well, Congress could not borrow anything but gold or silver when Congress is working for the Republic. But Congress, in the legislative democracy, could borrow anything they please and make anything they want a legal tender in a payment of debt. And so they loaned Congress, working for the legislative democracy, the national debt. But it was not long before Congress had borrowed more than that little nation, the legislative democracy, could ever repay. Well, how can we sucker the rest of the United States into this debt? Well, the trick is to use the United States in two different ways. As I mentioned, there are two separate and distinctly different nations, both called the United States. And one of the favorite tricks is to get you to say you're a United States citizen, and they always interpret that as meaning that you are a citizen of the Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, democracy. And if you don't know any better, and they make that assumption, and you don't correct them or object to that assumption, well, then you waived your rights under the Republic, and sorry, but you're going to do as Congress says to do. And this is the way we've been taken into this legislative democracy. And another thing, how to make the people of the Union of the 50 states responsible for the debt of this little nation here in Washington, D.C. Well, the way we can do that is through commercial agreements. And so what Congress did, and this is where Congress works, you'll find they work a lot more for the legislative democracy than they work for the Republic. And that's where they can usurp power. So what they did, they left the Republic short of a medium of exchange. They weren't coining enough silver and gold to carry on commerce. But the politicians said, oh, we're here to help you, and we want to help you. We will let you, we have plenty of paper money here in Washington, D.C. We will allow you to use this paper money for all your business throughout continental United States. We will make this a legal tender throughout the United States. Of course, at first, it was redeemable in gold or silver on demand. But they got it, this paper money, spread out. And, of course, the politicians tell us how good we are, why you've got to go modern. That's been a technique all along, you know. Anything new is better than anything old. And, of course, these carrying these silver coins around in your pockets, well, it makes holes in your pockets. Your wife has to work sewing up all the holes that you wear in your pockets. And we want to save the people and wives all this work to sewing up holes in their husband's pockets and so on. So if you carry paper money, you won't have that problem. And let's go modern and everybody deal in this new paper money, which is so much better and more efficient than the gold or silver coin. Well, the people went for it, and they used this money. But gradually, they had to get us more involved. So we were using this money, but they took away the redeeming quality into gold or silver from it. And now it was a medium of exchange, but it would not exchange for any real money. And so now Congress had to give us another little benefit. And, oh, we'll help you out on that problem. We will give you the right, the privilege — it's not a right, it's a privilege — of discharging your debt with equitable currency, paper money, and you'll need still another benefit, which the government can give you, because if you walk into a grocery store and you came out with an armful of groceries, and the manager might come out and tap you on the shoulder and say, "Sir, I don't believe you paid for those groceries." Now, what he said was true. You didn't pay for the groceries. You discharged the debt. And this is another important thing for us all to know, the difference between the word pay and discharge. Suppose a pound of butter is worth a dollar. If you give the grocer a silver dollar for a pound of butter, the effort to make 1 ounce of silver exactly equals the effort to make 1 pound of butter. So it was an even exchange. You paid for your butter. But if you give the grocer a piece of paper with a figure written on it, there is no intrinsic value in the paper, but you got the butter. So what you did, you discharged the debt instead of paying the debt. And then the government says you will need a benefit, which we will give you, because we don't want you to get out in that parking lot and have the grocer tap you on the shoulder and say you didn't pay for those groceries, which you didn't do. You only discharged the debt. But we will give you limited liability on the discharge of your debt. How good they were. Now that means that you can never be brought into court for not paying your debt. You can discharge your debts with limited liability. And that, you see, puts you under a contract with the federal United States. And once you're in a contract with that group, there's a little system of law, but I haven't got time to go into it, but that ties you in to the national debt of federal United States. So that's how they say we owe $3 trillion in debt, the national debt of the nation. But actually, it's the federal United States that owes that debt, not the continental United States where we live, because the citizenry of continental United States were supposed to have silver or gold, and their congressman working for them was only empowered to borrow silver or gold. But they borrowed that paper when they were working for the legislative democracy. And we have been suckered into that legislative democracy. And so this is one other thing that you need to know. Law does not compel performance. You're free at law to do anything you please, provided you do not infringe upon the life, liberty, or property of someone else. It's only when you damage somebody else and they file a complaint that you can be brought to account for what you do. But other than that, you're free at law to do anything you please. Now, when they say, it's the law, you are required to buckle your seatbelt, you are required to file an income tax, that is compelled performance. Whenever you see compelled performance, you're dealing with a contract or a commercial agreement. You can be compelled to perform to the letter of any contract that you're under. That's even under the system of law that the Founding Fathers set up. A contract, you give up your rights, and you agree for this consideration to do this, this, and this. And if you fail to do any one of those three things, you can be brought into court, and the court will compel you to perform to the letter of a contract. Well, that operates under the common law. But under the common law, a contract must deal in substance. A contract is based upon silver or gold. When a contract is based upon equitable paper, it is not enforceable under the common law. The common law deals in substance. So contracts that are dealing in paper are not enforceable under the common law, and so they had to invent a new system of law, because all contracts today, if you hire a painter to paint your house, the contract is in terms of Federal Reserve notes, paper, not gold or silver. So that contract would not be enforceable in a common law court. So they had to invent a new jurisdiction to enforce contracts of a colorable nature. Now, the word colorable, you want to look that up in your law dictionary. It means something that looks like the genuine thing, but it's not genuine. A silver dollar is a genuine dollar. A Federal Reserve note, which says $1 on it, is not a genuine dollar. And yet, they will both spend the same in the grocery store. But one is genuine and the other is not. Now, if you have contracts with a colorable consideration, the whole contract is colorable. That means it looks like a contract, but it's not a genuine contract. That contract is not enforceable under the common law. So they had to invent a new colorable jurisdiction to enforce colorable contracts. And that's what we have today. And here is what you find when you go into a court today. The court presumes that you have a contract with the federal United States. And what they do, the judge looks down at this gentleman here and he says, he looks like he's been eating. I'm quite sure that when he got his groceries at the grocery store, he didn't pay for them with gold or silver coin. He discharged the debt with equitable paper, he enjoyed limited liability on the discharge of his debts. That is a consideration of a commercial agreement. Now he has an obligation on that same commercial agreement. The obligation is to obey every statute of government on the letter of the statute as a commercial obligation. So now if it says, you are required to file a tax return, you are required to buckle your seatbelt, you see, that is enforceable on the letter of the obligation without any rights whatever. Because even under the common law, once you're under a contract, the contract is enforceable on the letter of the contract. But within this system of law, they had to provide a remedy. And it was a long time before we discovered where the remedy was. But we have discovered where the remedy is. And let me read the remedy to you. And you will see how, even in this system of law, we still have a way out. And it says, the making of a valid, the word valid is very important there, reservation of rights preserves whatever rights the person then possesses and prevents the loss of such right by application of concepts of waiver or estoppel. Now let's read in the same law. when a waivable right or claim is involved, the failure to make a reservation thereof causes a loss of the right and bars its assertion at a later date. Now, if we apply the remedy in their system of law, when we go into a court, if we apply their, use their own law that they're operating, he looks at you, this man's well fed. He's undoubtedly been buying groceries and he has used a government privilege of discharging debt with limited liability. But if you have validly show that court that you have reserved your exercise the remedy which their own law provides, now that judge must bring you right back under the common law, and the statute that compels performance would be void under the common law, and the case must be dismissed. This, you see, is what we, as God's remnant, God has provided, even with all the corruption that goes on in the government, he has provided a way out for us. And he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But the important thing that I want to get over to you today is that there are two entities, both called the United States, and both have their origin right in the Constitution of the United States, which we consider a most sacred document. But it's that flaw area of the Constitution that has been exploited by evil men with God's permission to teach people to straighten up. And it's just like the punishment that God dealt to Esau. When Esau was disobedient to God, Jacob was disobedient to God, Esau was always there to harass him. Well, when we, as a people, if we don't observe God's laws, we are under the Esau of our present time is that Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 of the Constitution, which created a nation within a nation. And we come under the laws of that nation unless we know how to preserve our rights under the republic which we were born under, and where we have a right to do it. But the point is, you see, God has a way of punishing those who ignorantly ignore him. And we're in that state. We're in the second half of Deuteronomy 28. And our nation is being brought low through the fact of this. As the average person thinks, well, I am a citizen of the United States. Yeah. The wiser expression would be, I am among the citizenry of continental United States, but I am a citizen of the sovereign state of Arizona. And you see, Congress, under the Republic, is given no authority to legislate directly upon the citizens of the 50 states. They can only legislate upon a given territory that they have in Article 1, Section 8. But they sucker us into that jurisdiction through our money system, but within their own law, we have a remedy to get back to our Constitution and our Republic. And that is the thing that when God says the remnant will know the truth, and the truth will set them free. Once you know that truth will set you free. But you will only know it if you're in God's remnant. God will make your mind blind. And I found that some people, you can explain it, and they still don't understand it. And that is, when you're right with God, this information will reach you, and you'll be set free by it. And I thank you very much. I think my time is up.